Welcome to the Wine Vault. We're in the third part of our budget Cabernet. So far, we're trying to find if you can buy a Cabernet for a reasonable price that is good.
It's in doubt, folks.
And, yes, it's highly doubtful. I almost choked to death a little bit ago to kind of end it. Possibly
we're still
by design.
Questioning if he's going to make it.
I might not. I don't know if it was my throat was affected and swelling shut because of the Souverain, or if I just was choking on something. It's hard to say. But I'm feeling much better now.
Hey, you sound great.
Thank you.
Sound normal to me.
Yes. So, yeah. So we started off in Chile, and we're offended by everything in South America. Then we went to North America and said, well, it's terrible there. So now we've said, screw that, and we'll go over to Europe. And now we're in France. Well, sort of. And so we're going to find out if the French can do something good at a reasonable price. So when we get back, we will discuss what we are drinking tonight. And hopefully, our fate will be a little bit better. Be right back on the Wine Vault. So, folks, we're back. The wine we are drinking tonight, Scott, would you like to do the honors?
Chateau Beaulieu.
Beaulieu. It's a Bordeaux Superior, which means it's a non-classified Bordeaux. And it's basically of a lower quality, theoretically. Now, we've had our intern here do a little bit of research. Because we have, by the way, we have five people on the show tonight. We have the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hello.
We have Triple B.
Intern Triple B.
Intern Triple B. We have Deb, who nodded. And we have superstar Esteban Gibson.
Cheers.
So, it is a full house for you tonight. So, our intern has done some research. That's right. And I probably knew this when I bought this. This wine, actually, Robert Parker, in all his wisdom, gave this wine 95 of his points. How many centuries did Robert Parker say that this would age? Did it say in his review?
Oh, I didn't read his review. I'll find it.
Age for 50 years.
But the name of the name of the wine means beautiful place.
Beautiful place. We were not in a beautiful place earlier in the episodes.
No.
Hopefully, we're in a better place now.
This is a Bordeaux, not a Cab.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, then just disregard all my research.
Okay,
what year? 2009?
Well, it is a Cabernet. Yes. Okay. It's a Cabernet from Bordeaux.
What's it called? A Bordeaux Superior?
Mm-hmm. It did not apparently get a 95 from Robert Parker.
We'll find out.
I was just kidding. Yeah. Hey. Robert Parker probably knows this place, but it does mean beautiful place.
Oh, wow.
What's
it's that? Even higher, 95 to 98.
That's just stupid. How long does he think it's going to ageable?
I haven't found his review. A lot of them are in French.
Well, good. Folks, I believe I spent $12.99 on this.
Right.
So
really?
That kind of score for a $12.99 bottle of wine is a little silly.
Does anybody here speak French?
No, but I do kiss that way.
That's thank you.
Mm-hmm. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi
really
ce soir?
Oui, oui.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
That's bad enough right there.
Oh.
This is 60% Merlot, 30% Cab Franc, and 10% Cab Sauvignon.
So, folks, it's mostly Merlot, which, budget cab. If you want to find a budget cab, buy Merlot.
There you go.
It does have cab in it. Ah, what the hell. Scott would have brought a third bottle, but he bought a second bottle of Chateau Souverain. I don't think you want us to go through that again.
What a big mistake.
The Spectator gives it an 88 to a 91.
Okay. Wow. So, a fairly highly regarded wine. And the question is, yes, it's gone through the Spectator. Yes, it's gone to the Advocate. But it hasn't been subjected to the torments and the tortures of the Wine Vault. And that's what's going to happen next. We'll be right back. So we're back, folks. So, Scott, would you like to do the honors? The name?
Chateau Beaulieu.
It's from 2009. That wouldn't be a current vintage, folks, but sorry. But it is still 12 to 20 bucks. So you're going to get something from Bordeaux or thereabouts for under $20. If you look, it has a slightly brickish hue to it. Which shows that it is a slightly aged wine. I mean, I've had this for a couple years now, and we're not talking about a wildly expensive wine. So, a little bit of a brown edge. If you roll it across the paper, you can see that, which isn't surprising at all.
Now, at some point, does that become
an
unappealing characteristic? It just goes vinegar?
Yeah, but it's not anywhere near that. This just shows that this wine is matured and it's ready to drink. On the nose, the first thing I smell is black olive.
Yeah.
There's oak.
Very little translucence.
Oh, no.
Not a watery edge at all.
It's dark. Dense wine.
Great legs.
Yep.
Phenomenal legs. You got runners all over that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great legs, Scott.
Great legs. Yes. Just take a sip here. Any other comments on the nose? Olive and oak.
Yeah, oak.
A little berry.
Oaky.
Yeah.
Berries.
Very French.
Was something sharp? A little alcohol, maybe? A little? Just.
There's a little bit of that, but that's more of the berry oak, and there is a little waftiness to it. Yeah, you can pick that up a little bit.
But
you should expect
not
a little
bit. Not in an unappealing way. It's a nice nose. It's not a big fruity nose, though.
You okay with it, Rick?
Well, I'm still dying. you have the silver and then you choke.
Becky's laughing because the life insurance policy is paid.
I am worth more dead than alive, that's for sure. So
we've known that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. You can taste the Merlot.
It also, the tannins are pretty strong in it as well. Stronger than the other two.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the silkiness of a more expensive wine. The mouthfeel is the same as the other two wines that we've tasted tonight.
It's maybe a little bit of bigger body. Yeah. What it is, it has a bigger finish for sure.
Yeah.
It's
astringency.
There's no fruitiness at all to this.
Oh, no, it's French.
There's no fruitiness at all here.
It's Merlot and it's French.
And it kind of builds.
It starts
not soft, but more subtle. And then it gets a little bigger. There's a little
talking about wine.
Earthiness. Talking about a lot of things that are good.
It starts soft, and then it just doesn't quite go anywhere from there.
Right. It's
and everyone's disappointed. Yeah, it's a flaccid wine. Yeah. It's short in the finish.
Olive, yes.
And very thin.
Right.
Yeah.
Real thin.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scott.
No, we're talking about Baltimore Ravens quarterback.
Oh.
Joe Flaccid.
Chateau.
Yeah.
There's a little, just a little unpleasantness in that finish. Just right at the aftertaste. It's almost gone, and then there's something
you
there.
You still have a sore throat from this.
I stopped drinking that shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's almost like an aftertaste. There's like a, it's not sour, it's not yeasty, it's maybe underdeveloped tannins.
Oh, good God.
It shouldn't be, but what is it? I don't know what it is. What is
it? Merlot.
No.
That's the way Merlot finishes.
Okay, like I said, I'm not drinking that fucking Merlot.
Yeah, but that's the...
But that's not the finish.
The off-tart wave that goes through, that's Merlot.
Yeah.
It's a Merlot finish. It tastes like Merlot. The tannin... The structure of the tannin is a little bit from the Cab. Actually, the leanness and the tartness is probably from the Cab Franc, because that's typically the way Cab Francs show. But no, your mouth feel.
I'm not a Cab Franc person.
Well, Cab Franc by itself doesn't have a place. And quite frankly, what is it, 30%?
Yeah.
That's a lot for, it's probably.
Yeah.
25 and 25 would be better than 50. But, it tastes like Merlot with just a little bit of pizzazz. A good Merlot. A very good Merlot. Especially at $13-14 what this cost. I don't know if a current vintage costs that. It probably costs closer to 20. But at 20, it's a good drink. It's a good alternative to other things from Cali and whatnot. That being said, we always say, what does it pair well with? A big steak, it won't do that. Because it's a little just too focused and astringent for that. It's not
game?
This. Yeah, I think so. It might. A leaner cut, yeah. Because, a little bit. It doesn't have a lot of funk, but it has that Euro kind of restrained classiness. It does have a classiness. I know it's familiar. It's unfamiliar. You know. Yeah. Just yeah.
Rob's the only one that can speak to that.
Damn straight. You like that, don't you?
I don't know. It's a lot of olive taste for me.
Well,
I'm not a real big. I'm not an olive by nature, but
that is the first thing you notice right on the nose. Yeah. But that's not that unusual for Euro wines. They tend to show that. I mean. I guess what I'm saying is it is a style, and you might not care for the style, but irrespective of that.
It's respectable for what it is.
Yes.
But I think Steve's first taste, I could see, I was looking at Steve when he tasted it, and it was not a fun look on his face.
And if you don't like that, well, it's not a Californian kind of thing. You're not going to find that because... Who wants to, you know, it's integrated, once again, but the first thing I know
very well.
Black olive.
What I like about this wine is how it hits your mouth, goes across your palate, there's not a whole lot going on, and then it builds to the end.
It has a crescendo, yes.
It has a crescendo.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a 95 to 98 is a little bit of a silly review.
Well, I think she...
I Googled the wrong thing. I thought it was a cab. 88
to 91.
Well, okay.
Yeah, 88 to 91.
Okay. Well, that's a fair range then. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. 91 might be a little excessive, but I wonder what their cab then is. Well, maybe it's not a Bordeaux Superior. That would be interesting to find whatever that next level is. I would agree with that.
Steve, is this a little too dry for you?
For me, it is.
Oh,
see, this is as,
you know,
buddy, is this as dry as it gets?
No, I've had drier.
Oh yeah,
dry, though.
We had one last night. Yeah, that one last night. The tannins lasted for. A minute, yeah. 2 minutes. Like, you almost needed water to drink at the same time.
For me, Merlot is the easiest varietal to pick out.
It because of that dryness.
That astringency. Yeah, that puckering intensity.
I see how it could be off-putting. It's not to me, though. I don't mind it. But I see how it could be, for sure.
Well, I like to sometimes drink things that are representative of a certain varietal I hadn't had in a while.
It's just different for me.
Yeah.
I don't mind it now, but...
Mm-hmm.
You do feel like your tongue's like shriveling up a little bit.
A little bit. But that's the way Merlots roll. That's why they're not necessarily as popular.
But this has
some podcast fail.
Nice things going on with that.
Oh, absolutely.
There is there almost some, you're going to laugh, but butterscotch in that? Go with it. Go with it.
Sorry,
go with it.
We had a
lot. On that, in the crescendo, is there some butterscotch there?
Do you have a Werther's original in your mouth? Original. My mouth is puckered dry. Let me try this again to find the butterscotch.
I'm telling you, I get just a little
butterscotch. Yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
That's an unusual
way to describe it.
Okay.
I know what you're saying, but isn't a sweetness?
No. And proper butterscotch is not sweet.
How do I describe this? It's not the mouthfeel either. It's how
there's
it's
a flavor. There's
it's a dryness. It's like the texture of a butterscotch. How you know how it's smooth but kind of off.
I don't taste it at all.
You don't taste it. It's not.
It's a feeling.
I taste it.
Well, it's more than a feeling.
Okay, Boston.
Okay. No.
You won last night.
Patriots.
Yeah. I'm hooked on a feeling. Yeah. A little.
Yeah.
I know what you're referring to, but that's really, you know.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Really? It's a little different.
A little different? Well, we're going to exclude your score when we come down to that.
I just have a... Two glasses.
Oh.
Don't exclude the score, bro.
Yeah, so you must like it.
I'm not. Hold my boat.
He's holding that wine right in front of him.
Come on,
he's trying to catch up, play some catch up. No, I'm sticking
See,
by that.
I like the first bottle.
Butterscotch.
I liked it. They all didn't. The second bottle,
they can be a tough crowd here.
This one's not
I liked
bad.
It better than the Souverain, obviously. Numerically, anyway.
No, this is... It's not my favorite varietal. You know, I hate that fucking Merlot. But this is good. This is a drinker.
But this is Merlot. You do like Merlot. You don't want it's not you don't want to drink it all the time, for Christ's sake. It's not something that you want
to
drink all the time.
The name is weird to me. The Bordeaux Superior, that's weird.
That's a classification.
Yeah, but that just is weird to me for it to be so much Merlot.
It depends on where it's sourced. Like I told you, Pomerol and St. Estefie are both.
Yeah, I just feel like the name's misleading.
Petrus and Lepine are mostly Merlot.
Yeah, that's what you said. The two most expensive ones.
Listen.
Yeah.
I don't mind Merlot.
This don't taste like this.
This is three straight. I'm holding it. It where the butterscotch is just before it finishes.
Could you send me a pin on Google Maps as to what? I know what you're referring to. I know. I said
and
that you're not crazy.
And it's not the mouthfeel. It's the flavor.
Well, it's not. But I know what you're referring to. I know you're having a hard time articulating.
No, I'm articulating it just fine.
It's just it's
I'm
a mysticism thing. It's not. It's not important.
Thank you for recognizing that, Rob.
Trust me. Trust me.
Mysticism.
It's just yeah. He's basically a wizard without the powers. He needs the. You need the hat.
I do have powers.
Okay. Well, we know what your powers are.
That's true.
You can dig a hole in, 30 seconds flat now?
Well, backhoe helps.
What?
Are we going to rate this one?
Not yet. We're going to go back to a commercial, a fake commercial, and then we're going to do a quick potpourri segment. So we'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
Potpourri.
Pre-prepare, so you're going to hit us.
Well, folks, we're back on the Wine Vault. We were back when the unlicensed taxi driver was talking. Tonight's potpourri episode, very interesting, and it's going to be very telling. I'm going to go around the room, and it's less awkward because there's more than two people, and it's more by myself because otherwise it'd just be creepy doing this. But
more creepy than usual?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
are we braiding this
one? Well, eventually. We'll get to that.
Okay, I was just asking.
After the potpourri.
Yeah, we're doing potpourri.
I'm going to go around, and I want to know what everyone at this table loves about wine. It's very simple, folks.
Very nice.
Very simple. It's a slow hanging curve.
Yeah.
Slow hanging curve.
Yeah. Low. Yeah. Yeah.
A low hanging fruit. Is that what you're going?
Could
for?
Be that too. No, okay. They're both.
Yeah. Well, I think he was in between that and a hung curveball. A hanging what? Curve is the line from baseball.
Anyway.
I'm going to start, and I'm going to say that, usually on the potpourri, there's some pre-discussion of this, and I'm glad that you didn't give us some time to think about this.
I just thought of it right before I started talking, so
yeah,
it's kind of hard
question.
To, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
It is a wonderful thing. What do I like about wine? I'm liking it more and more and more. I love Zinfandel. I love me some Zin. I always did. And then some asshole showed me Turley Zinfandel from California. And I got to meet my girlfriend, Christina Turley. And now I'm mad in love with that shit. God, I always loved Zin,
so
though.
Good.
I always loved Zin. I didn't know how much I liked it until I had the Turley Zin. And it's certainly a niche varietal, but it's wonderful, and that's what I love about wine right now.
But how
Zinfandel?
What type of emotions do you feel when you drink wine? What does it bring out of you?
What?
I have some emotions.
Oh yeah, I do.
What emotions? How do you? What emotions well up inside
you? Do
you
know
you
what I do for my
wine?
Side hustle? Don't harass me.
No, what do you do? What are your emotions that well up inside you when you drink wine?
I don't have any welled up emotions.
Come on, Scott.
Wines are not emotional.
Tell us.
Give us
wine's
a
we're
emotional.
On the Wine Vault. Let it loose.
You're among friends.
This is a judgment-free sound.
Yeah, there's no judgment going on here.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, we'll come back to you on that.
We had callers. Right?
I would recommend that you don't.
Yeah.
Yes.
We would take a call if we had a call right now.
Yes. On to the Triple B.
What I like about wine is I think that it can take just a normal evening and make it be something really special and nice. So if you're cooking dinner and it's just like a normal chore, but then you open up a bottle of wine, it becomes an experience, an evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing if you're watching a movie and then you open up wine, it's different. If you are hanging out with your friends and you open up wine, it elevates the evening. And that's what I like about it. And the emotions, I think, This goes back to one of Rob's earliest episodes when he was talking about you find something you drink that you have a connection to, and you can remember wine that you had on a date, or you can remember wine that you had on your honeymoon, or, you know, we went to a Turley tasting dinner, so every time we have Turley, we think of each other. And so you have that emotional connection to it, and that's why I like wine.
That's beautiful.
That was much better said than...
That was like a thesis
much,
on wine.
Much better.
It's like you had that written down and you didn't.
She didn't.
No, I didn't. No, I just think it really does... A good wine elevates your evening. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Yes. It just has to be nice. And I think that's something that I appreciate a lot.
Fantastic.
Especially in you.
Well, thank you. And now... On to death.
There's a little sparkle in their eyes, folks.
And this is a...
Although I think it's... In Rob's eyes, I think it's from the coughing fit he's just recovering from.
I'm finally actually past that, as you could tell.
I have a lot of memories when it comes to wine. My first one comes back... takes me back to my high school days. Tickle Me Pink, Boone's Farm. It was awesome. It was like drinking Kool-Aid on the end of the street. And throwing that bottle down the gutter when your parents never caught us drinking that wine. How much fun was that? But as I've gotten older, what do I still like about wine? There's nights that I can drink wine to forget. There's nights I can drink wine to just make the night fine. There's nights that I can cook with it. There's nights I can drink with it. And it puts me to sleep and I feel just fine.
That's almost like a rhyme.
Wow. I did rhyme at the end of that. But I mean, I must say that it's taken me a while to appreciate good red wine. I used to have to put one ice cube in it just to drink it. And now I totally enjoy red wine. I like the different flavors of it. I like to try different bottles. I like being with the people at the Silly Podcast. We've had fun with it. But... I've grown to like it, and couldn't drink it every night.
That is,
and
so
she does, folks. Her teeth are purple.
I do,
folks. That was so much better than Scott's. Okay, now we're on. Now we're. I'm sure this one's going to be great because this is the superstar Esteban Gibson. By the way, you just drank the Pepperwood Grove.
I did.
How did you possibly? How could you drink?
How was that?
One, I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
Two, I'm out of wine.
Yeah, that's probably not going to do it for you, though.
So I'm just, you know, I'm catching up.
Was it good?
It's no.
Okay.
Was it better than the last one?
Than
this Chateau Sauvignon.
That Sauvignon, it's worse.
I guess they're not worse.
They're equally.
Unpleasant.
Yes. I mean, it's free wine.
Yes. They're both terrible.
Yeah, it's like, would you rather be stabbed or shot?
Right. Either way, the outcome's the same.
That's true. Well, I'd rather be shot.
I think I could go with shot.
I'd be stabbed. I think you got longer to live.
I think it's more painful. I think it's more painful.
Yeah, but
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Let's see. Scott. Hold on.
Somebody will get it. Rob, you got 45 guns.
Yeah. Now.
I'm told, not often directly, that stabbing's more painful.
What do I like about wine? You know, I have to get a little, I have to philosophize here before you, Rob.
Oh.
I think Scott will get a kick out of this one. I like to think about what was going on when the wine was made. The years, depending on the different years. What was going on with the people that were bottling it, the grape itself, the events in the world. I think every time I open a bottle of 14 or 2009, I get to taste a little bit what was going on in that year. So it's very special. So as I elevate my wine taste, I try to remember that and really look at that as I pick out bottles of wine and choose bottles of wine.
That's excellent, Steve.
Thank you.
Now back to Scott.
No, you need to go.
Oh, well, why do I? Folks, I've answered this question before.
Why do you drink wine? Why do you like drinking wine?
Like drinking wine because it makes me feel silly. No, I enjoy wine simply because I find it interesting.
It's an adventure.
It can be a tapestry of flavors. It also can be a tapestry of disappointment. It is a little bit, for one thing, I like the technical aspect. I like to know where things are from, the way the different regions affect what you're drinking. I like the fact that something from across the globe tastes different than something that tastes right next to your house. I like the science of it. Beyond that, I really like the feeling of actually finding the great wine and drinking it. Obviously, you have a lot of shit that you have to trudge through. Right. But when you actually get that great wine and that surreal experience, the way that that makes you feel, it's fantastic. You know how you sit there and you go, that's so damn good. There are very few things out there. I mean, obviously a great steak, whatnot. But a wine can have that same experience where it's almost like a euphoric thing for me.
When you all had the really good wine the other night, you actually ran upstairs for me to taste it.
Oh, the Sledgehammer?
Yeah.
But then we beat that with the Bogle Central Red. And obviously we were a little bit lit.
That was the second bottle I was asking you for in my text.
Yeah, the Central Red, that was something we both just loved. Oh, loved it top to bottom. We were just enjoying ourselves because of what we were drinking.
Yep.
How many things, you don't have a glass of iced tea and sit there and go, damn, my life is better right now because I'm drinking this glass of iced tea. No, that doesn't happen. Maybe a cup of coffee, it's really good, but it's still not to that extreme.
If you go to that tea shop in Easton, they've got that really good green tea. Yeah.
No, okay.
No, it's not like that.
So that's kind of the thing. You can get that surreal experience of having something that's truly great.
That's nice. I like that. I like that. But that's
touching.
The cultured Rob answer. I want to take us back a little bit with the wine guy to... You're a struggling OSU student. You have a job. You're working at the Andersons.
Step it up.
And you are working in the wine department at the Andersons. And you go to that big Italian wine tasting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Yes. What was it that turned you on that night?
Well, for one thing, I wasn't paying for anything. That's always nice. And it was just the problem with that tasting was it was the same thing over and over again. All these big Barolos or Brunellos or all the Montesinos. So you're just going back and forth. It's so tedious. You know, these grand Italian wines. If someone would actually want to sit there and drink a great Barolo, then a great, I mean, just greatness. It's just so tedious. That night was just so, that day was so tedious. With all the foie gras you can eat and smoked salmon, all that kind of, it was just so tedious.
You know, you're being pretentious right now, right?
I know that you love those things. That's why I'm saying it was just so, it was so everyday, so basic.
But so when so was basic. It? When was it when you were going through this process that you knew you were hooked on wine? Back in those young days, what was it then?
I don't know.
Was it just a job? Because I gotta believe it wasn't just a job.
Fact that you could. I like that they assigned numerical scores to wine. It's like a car has a 0 to 60 time. A wine, I could identify it was good or bad by a number. That's why we still do that. For some reason, I like that kind of. I like the fact that you can give something a numerical score. I don't know what. It's just a weird thing about me.
And so originally it was just that.
Yeah.
Mathematics.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily great at math, but
not even mathematics, but just that evaluation process.
Yes. And from there, you'd actually drink the things, and from step on, and just kind of built from there. That's how it's kind of a weird way, kind of hokey. That's what it was.
That's great.
And it's raw emotion.
You're showing a vulnerability right now.
I'm vulnerable, yes. Now, Scott.
Separating feelings and thoughts. I like it.
I just love fucking Vin. Zen. That's just all there
who's
is
Vin?
To it.
Hey, who's Vin, what's Vin. His Zen?
You love fucking Vin?
Scott.
No.
Scott.
Well,
he is kind of cute.
Have we met him?
He's kind of cute.
If we're going back, how far are we going back on Zen?
There are some advantages to picking up customers at the union.
You see, I think that we're just going to play I Love Fucking Vin in a loop for the next episode. Just I Love Fucking Vin.
It's a new theme song.
Cast gold.
That's gold right there,
so
folks.
So kind of piggybacking on something that Princess said, we kind of went down that path together because I drank red wine and cared for it a little more than she did. And we would go to Craig's shop in Pickerington and do flights. And we really enjoyed that and kind of grew up in that part of wine together. And for a brief period of time, actually for about 6 or 7 years, I made wine, would bring in California grape juice and make wine. And quite honestly, it wasn't bad. Wasn't great, but it really wasn't bad.
So you crushed it yourself?
No, it came in juice concentrate. Grapes were processed in a way where the yeast was maintained in them. Other than my first year of making it, I didn't add any yeast because by the time I'd bring it home from the produce company, it was already fermenting.
Yeah.
And so it would self-ferment.
That sounds
and
good.
It's not bad. Kudos to Jill Mercurio. And honestly, that was where I got into red wine, actually making it. It was rough. It wasn't great. I made some mistakes. But I remember, you remember when we were living together and there was that whole batch that I said was terrible? And you eventually drank it all. You eventually drank it all. But it was in my basement. I would say, no, I didn't even put it in my wine rack that I built. And I said, no, don't take that. And Keith comes down and he says, hey, man, you mind if I get a couple bottles of wine to take to my aunt's for Christmas? And I'm like, yeah, but just don't get the blah, 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 blah. And I don't even remember what varietal it was. And then Keith actually took that stuff. And it was funny. It had aged 3 or 4 years. And it just in the bottle, it was just bad. But after it aged 3 or 4 years, it was pretty nice. And that's when I really got it. And the funny thing was I never made wine after that. But I moved it all with us to Toledo. And within probably 3 months, it was all gone because my purple tooth, she was my girlfriend at the time, but my wife, she drank it all. There was some rough times there. But and that same batch of wine that was so bad because it was now, because it was now 3, 4, or 5 years old. It was good.
We lived on the 10th floor, but we had a storage unit on the 7th floor. So I was like, okay, hold on. We need to go get another bottle of wine. We'd have to get on the elevator, go down to the storage unit. And we did. We had this huge wine vault. We had two storage units. One was full of wine. And I'd be like, okay. And we just like.
It was a rack. The rack was full of
wine. Well, it was a rack. It felt like a vault because it was full. Right. I mean, it was like.
That batch of wine was about. I forget it was 4 cases or 8 cases.
Wow. I've never made wine.
No. Well, there were other varieties that were the good stuff.
We had a lot of wine. But that's
truthfully how. But so it really that's wasn't. So you asked me about the emotions. It really wasn't an emotional thing. It was an experiential thing. It was my experience with it. And and so one last story about why I love wine. In the same Pickerington house, Princess and her husband at the time, they threw in a dart lake just down the street. And we went through 4 cases of the only good white wine I ever made. We went through 4 cases of it in 3 Sunday night sessions where we had, I don't know how many people. A couple times, it was just a half dozen or so. But there was the one night, it was like 20 people. And we drank that white wine. I don't even remember what it was. I want to say it was Pinot Grigio, but I'm not sure. I had filtered it, and it was nice. It was crisp and clear, and it wasn't too sweet. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was nice. We pounded that shit.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I can share a similar story. Back in
what?
Yeah.
Oh, not about Vin.
But I did
this
spend
making hooch and socks
I did.
In prison.
I did spend 3 days in Cincinnati jail for peeing in public. On a Friday, couldn't get out till Monday, but that's not the lesson. The lesson was, I learned how to make 2 things. One, Fritos, pickle juice, and Cheetos makes a really good dish together. And then I did learn how to make strawberry hooch. I didn't really
like
see
in
it.
Your gel cell toilet.
Yeah, there's like 4 or 5 guys I had that can make it because all you need is like fruit and sugar. But it was pretty good. And apparently, it only takes about 4 or 5 days to make. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this involves putting anything anywhere. Wasn't privy to that information, but
how did you get to taste it?
The guy next to us had some, and I tasted it. It was really good. It's pretty good. It's really like a really bad wine.
Oh, so it's basically souverain.
It was strawberry. It's kind of like it was kind of like Mad Dog 2020 meets Boone's Farm.
Oh yeah.
But with rubbing alcohol poured in. That's
it's Chateau Souverain,
right.
Basically.
And then, like,
is
somebody
what it
poured
is.
Like drop the sugar in it.
it's Tribunal then.
No, we should make wine. The next time we should make some homemade wine. That's a great
side podcast. He really needs to start making it. Honest to God, was so good that he had a bottle that he gave to Christopher for graduating from high school.
No. The story is the first bottle I ever. He bottled with me the first couple of years I did it.
So
behavior of the unlicensed tax.
Okay, it did. It said Chris's wine on it. We moved it from his house in Pickerington to Toledo to our house in German Village. And one night, Christopher came over and we drank it with him. And it was really good.
It was Chianti.
It was, I mean, just the three of us, and it was awesome. We still have that bottle in our living room right now that it's empty with. It says Chris's wine on it. It was awesome.
Yeah. I've
always told him, you need to do it. We have all the stuff. Let's just buy the stuff and you just start doing it. Mm-hmm. Now we've got a big enough basement. Let's just do it again.
Yeah, actually.
It was good.
Usually more what she says is more along the lines of, what the fuck are you doing with all these bottles?
Yeah, well, no, that's true. Along with his, how many tubs of clothes that we've moved all over. So let's just not go there. I'd rather move fine wine or wine that ages instead of clothes that you think one day might come back in style.
Folks,
that's a different style than a wine vault right now.
Not that it'll come back in style. It's that I'll be able to fit my fat ass back in.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been 10
folks,
years,
we're gonna wrap things up, but before we do that,
need to get rid of it.
We're going to get back to the rating.
Yes, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to give this a rating. Right back on the wine bowl. And we're back, folks. We are going to. Scott, how's it pronounced again?
Chateau Beaulieu.
2009 Bordeaux Superior. We're going to go around the room, give it a review. We're going to start with Steve. He's been drinking the Pepperwood Grove.
Kidding. Between the two fabulous wines I'm drinking.
Yes.
I'll have to go back to the Chateau Beaulieu.
Yes.
Beaulieu.
The beautiful place.
Right. The one that gives me all the fond memories.
Yeah, but
that I just so eloquently
fonder.
Described.
Yeah, yes.
Or fonder. Fonder. Fondy.
Fondle.
Fondue.
Fondle.
Is fondue French? Like melting
Swiss.
Pot?
Swiss.
But which we French did talk about one of the date nights. That would be a good place to go for a date night.
Where?
Melting pot.
The best place to take you might not enjoy it, but your date will love it.
I don't know. We have to break this down on another one because
We'll come back to that.
That's a potpourri episode.
Quick score on this one for me. 82.
But Steve definitely his first impression of it was that he made a face. Right. He just doesn't like the variety. I think that's part of it.
It's just different.
And that's totally fine.
And it's tough. This is a tough one to score because
I think cabs are tough for me.
It's not a cab. It's a
Merlot. It's a Merlot.
That's why
even tougher than the cabs.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now on to Debbie.
Numerical ratings, right? So I would have to say between the three, I would have to give it an 85.
An 85, folks. Yeah. On to Becky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would give it an 86 probably. 86. Okay. It's fine.
On to the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm going
to
go a little higher. It's not my favorite varietal, the Merlot, but it was interesting to me. I like the mouthfeel. I like the crescendo, how it started off at one level and then it built. I'm going 88.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. And folks, it's on to me now.
I always feel like we wait on Rob to give us the correct answer.
Well, I don't. Particularly when it comes to watery wines.
I gave it a 69.
If we did, because you know,
if we hadn't called that out,
we wouldn't have known that the Chateau Sauvignon was watery.
Yeah. Oh, screw you. When I'm tasting this, I'm thinking about the Trader Joe's Grand Reserve Merlot. This has far more structure and is a lot better than that. But how good is it really? I gave that an 86, I think. And against my better judgment, I can't go quite that high. I'm going to go 87. I don't, 88, I really, well, yeah, I got to go an 87, which I think in the price range, that means it's a reasonably good wine.
12?
I think 12 bucks.
Yeah.
And it did age nicely.
Oh, yeah.
It just
it's not this big, huge, wonderful thing. It's just...
It is.
Kind of nice. And I really do. I appreciate this wine, but it's not my cup of tea.
Well, how good could it be, really, in that... Now it's in the lower spectrum of what Spectator guessed it would be. 88, 87, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a Merlot guy creams his shorts when he drinks it. It's just not me. I'm not that excited by
it. Yeah, I think it's...
I don't know.
Is his name Vin?
Whatsoever.
It creams his shorts.
Cream, that's a new one for us here.
Vin likes Cab Prank.
I believe that's called a cream pie.
I'm pretty sure that gives us an explicit rating on iTunes that's different. Now, officially.
I just want to use the proper terminology. Cream pie.
That's not cream pie shorts. That's different.
Cream pie shorts.
Let's move on.
I think the same effect is happening.
All right, folks. That's just horrid. So, with that, creaming your shorts. Going around the room, we had an 82, 85, 86, 88, and 87. Overall, I'd say that this gets a Wine Vault recommended label. Not Hall of Fame.
No.
But it is recommended. With a caveat, you should like Merlots.
Yeah, it's a Merlot.
Yeah. Right. Your casual drinker, no, you're not going to enjoy this because it's not fruit forward. It's European. If you have a bit of snobbery in you, you probably enjoy this. At least you'll pretend to enjoy it.
Look, I'm not drinking those fucking Merlots, but I appreciate this one.
Well, that's the thing. As I said before, if you like wine, you should be open to drinking any varietal. You might like some more than others, but when you drink one that represents the variety properly, you know, it should be fine with you. And that's what this does. I mean, I don't love Merlots, but I don't hate them either. This is a good basic, it's a good intro Merlot. A little bit better than the Grand Reserve. Mm-hmm. It's an 87, 88, 88 is fair, 86 is fair. So with that, folks, we're going to sum up our budget cabs by saying, no, it's fucking hard to get
it. We're spending the money.
But guess what? You can get a Merlot in that price range. So with that, we're going to bid you adieu. Thank you for joining us on the Wine Vault. Good night.